D1, number 13A.
Now we take the chart and go through it again, but focusing our interest on the synonymous terms and investigating how these synonymous terms bring out those different standpoints and what they mean. That chart, as I said last time, doesn't indicate the highest level of science itself. It was only in 1949, really, when John Dolly began to talk about the about the level of science itself. And the chart was printed before that. So we said that on the top we could put science itself, but as we have seen yesterday, science itself indicates the infinite one, and this infinite one does not need to be expressed through categories to itself, only to categories to the human understanding. Therefore, we saw that if our thought is on the plane of science itself, it doesn't need to have categories of Word, Christ, Christianity, and science, because the infinite one is known to himself as a whole. And so the infinite one doesn't need to teach to himself what he is, and therefore doesn't need to be symbolized through categories of thought and consciousness. So there we have no Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. And the synonymous term that could perhaps best express that highest level of science itself, I think, would be the infinite principle. I'm a bit hesitant, as you feel, because always when one has to go further into new ground and can't rely back on a spiritual monitor like John Dolly, or as I would call it, a spiritual Rolls-Royce, a powerful, forward-going, inspiring visionary, well, then one is a bit hesitant to cut a new path. But let's perhaps think about it and see if we couldn't just pinpoint that level when we pinpoint it through the synonymous terms as the infinite principle. That's science itself, really. It is that point to which I think Mrs. Eddy arrived very late in her life, round about 1907, 8 and 9. All those few last years, from 1907 up to 10 or so, all her additions and all her new insertions into the textbook all turn around that sense of science itself as the infinite one, like that statement, the principle and its idea is one, and this one is God, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, being, capital B, see, indicating that being itself is really principle and idea as one. Not principle looking at the idea, but principle being one with its idea. That's that high standpoint. Also, we can see that the pinnacle of the Bible and the Bible teaching was that the Bible presented being as life and truth and love as a pinnacle. whereas Mrs. Eddy came and introduced two new terms for God, principle and mind. As if with these two new terms, she could encompass the highest sense of science itself, lifting really the concept of being out of a divine sense, out of a religious sense into a purely scientific sense. And science always deals with principle. But why mind? And this is the great point, that whereas all other sciences have a fixed principle on which to build and from which to deduce, all those principles in all the various fields have no divine mind. They are not conscious of themselves, those principles. The principle of mathematics isn't conscious of its calculations. The principle of physics isn't conscious of its laws. All those principles have no mind, capital M. Mathematics as a principle does not know itself. There's no mind. The mathematician can know it. The mind outside of mathematics can grasp the symbolism of mathematics and get the feel of mathematics. So the great difference between any other science and the science of being is not primarily that of principle, because all the other sciences have a principle, but that the principle of being is mind. And so these are the two great terms which Mrs. Eddy introduced, and thereby showing really that being, which is a principle, an ever operative principle, is an ever operative principle who knows itself. Mind. Mrs. Eddy makes in the textbook a rather interesting statement, which always intrigued me and at first puzzled me when I was thinking it out. She says, God is his own infinite mind. God is his own infinite mind. It doesn't need to have another mind so as to operate and be applied and demonstrated. It is its own infinite mind. If we take principle as that symbol here, or if we would take the infinite divine principle as a symbol for science itself, then we know that principle always includes all other synonymous terms, secondary, in a secondary way. That principle, as Mrs. Eddy says, includes them all. So, if God is his own infinite mind, I can see that on the level of science itself, the infinite principle of being is his own infinite mind. That the principle of being is his own infinite spirit. That the principle of being is his own infinite soul. His own infinite life and truth and love. And to sit back and think out what that means is terrific. It is really that highest symbolization which we find in the textbook, where we can see that the infinite principle, which has an infinite idea, is his own infinite mind. Therefore, that this infinite principle knows itself in all its infinitude. that that principle is his own infinite spirit, and therefore that that infinite principle moves and has its being in the eternal dynamics of being as the infinite calculus of spirit. It's its own infinite calculus. It's its own infinite soul. Therefore, principle is that which knows its own identity, its own unchangeability, its own untouchability. It's completely fixed in principle and founded on principle. And so principle is its own infinite life. Its own infinite life. We don't have to give life to this principle by living that principle. At that point, you see, we don't feel that we have to live principle. Principle is its own infinite life. It lives by itself. It exists by itself. It proves its own existence by itself, by nothing outside of itself. That principle is its own infinite truth. I don't have to go and demonstrate it. Principle is its own self-realization, its own truth. And so it's its own love. I don't have to achieve anything. Principle is its own purpose, its own plan, and so its own fulfillment. I think in this way, somehow, we get the touch of what this level of science wants to indicate here. Therefore, all the principles in any other science, says, are just the outcome of the very fact that there is one divine infinite principle. You know, perhaps that statement which always intrigues the student from Mrs. Eddy, where she says, what are termed in common speech the principle of harmonious vibration, the principle of conversation of numbers in geometry, the principle of the inclined plane in mechanics, etc., are but an effect of one universal cause, namely God, an emanation of the one divine intelligent principle that holds the earth in its orbit by evolved spiritual power, that commands the waves and the winds, that marks the sparrow's fall, that governs all from the infinitesimal to the infinite. So we can see that wherever we encounter a definite, unchangeable principle in any subject, especially in the exact sciences, then we know that they are only an effect of that fundamental, eternal, divine fact that being is principle itself. Only because in the divine nature there is such a fact as principle, only on that ground is it possible that that principle is infinitely individualized as the principles of all the exact sciences. The principles in astronomy and geometry, in mathematics, in mechanics, and so on. So being here is symbolized in its highest sense as principle. But the highest sense of principle is, as we have seen, that that principle is different from all the other principles in sciences. The principle of mechanics, the principle of geometry, the principle of mathematics and so on, is a principle which we have to apply in order that they demonstrate themselves, or in order that we can calculate them, or anything like that. But the principle of being is his own infinite mind. Therefore, it's its own infinite knowledge, its own infinite intelligence, and it's its own infinite love, it's its own infinite plan. That principle, right from the beginning, is plain. And therefore, before the human brain could get hold of any other principle or conceive of a principle, that one divine principle was already at work since billions of years with a divine plan, bringing forth an evolution which has never gone back, but always gone forward. So it must have known itself. And this is quite practical for us in practice. If our thought is on that level of science itself, the practice of it is that we see that that principle operates by itself. That principle knows what it has to do, and that we can't give any advice to that principle what to do, nor can we direct that principle what to achieve. We can't influence that principle in any way. That principle, when we rest in that consciousness, is that principle which operates infinitely out of itself and as itself, and knows how it operates. We can't make it work. See, it's that point where we really can sit down and rest and just behold that all that there is going on under all circumstances, in every place, in every problem, whatever happens, is that principle itself is operating harmoniously. He says, in the order of science, all is one grand concord. That's the practice on this level, where we don't take into consideration the proposition of evil, the proposition of sickness, or anything like that, but where we take only into consideration that one thing, that the divine principle is his own infinite mind. The only mind that conceives of anything, that has any conception and recognizes anything, is the divine mind. And that divine mind is principle operating. It's terrific. Terrific to think that not our minds have anything to do with any situation. Not with any. Not with any. It's the divine principle who knows itself as mind, is its own infinite mind, and therefore operates infinitely as the calculus of spirit by itself, and therefore is untouchable, is because of soul, cannot change, is unchangeable principle. We can't change anything. The older religion always tried to change God by being kind to God, keeping offering to God, by having dances and singing and harpening and so on, to change God. See, that's what we usually do too. When we pray to God, somehow we have a feeling we should change God. We would change him so that he wakes up and looks after us and takes care of us. And comes and gets out of his slumber and sleep and does something to our body. We have a sense that he is not the principle who is his own infinite mind. She says, in regard to this plane of thinking, it says, science knows no lapse from, no return to harmony, but holds the divine order of spiritual law. Can you hear? It's all about scientific terms, unchangeable order, law, in which God and all that he creates are
perfect and eternal, to have remained unchanged in its eternal history. If one listens spiritually to a sentence like this, you see, then everything within one's spiritual consciousness says, oh yes, that's that highest level of harmony, of concord, where everything goes according to law, according to order, where everything is unchangeable, remains unchanged in its perfection and eternal. In one sentence, you get all that, you see. So it is that consciousness where we see that we don't see, but where we see that the only thing that knows and sees is principle being its own mind. And where we put away our own mind, our own way of looking at a problem, and just can see that principle is its own infinite mind. Therefore, that principle always is operating by itself in the way of law, order, rule, system, method, form, plan, design. Here these scientific terms come in which John Dolly has given us. And that gives us that rhythmic round of eternal harmony, the dynamics of being which is really always one grand concord. And it is not our realization of it, it is principle who has a mind. Principle who is its own mind. It's principle's own realization of itself. Can you see how here we touch very clearly what we have been considering yesterday when we have taken those development of the symbolism up to the present age, where we have seen that in Jesus' time, Jesus was the symbol and the idea, but then in Mrs. Eddy's time, Mrs. Eddy was no more the symbol nor the idea. She presented the symbol as a principle and an idea, which we now begin to see is one, and we touch now the highest level of symbolization where we just are seeing and feeling and thinking and being conscious in terms of the synonymous term alone. It's that point where we see here principle is its own infinite mind. You see, no symbolization of idea comes into such a statement. It's just the synonymous terms. And principle is its own infinite spirit. We don't take in any symbolization in the way of ideas. The symbolization has risen to that point where we begin to touch the wholeness of the infinite and the oneness of being. I know that not everybody has the same amount of winter nights as I have. I'm fortunate, I have no family, and I can spend the winter nights. But take some of them. Take just some of them. And begin to reason things out on this new way of science. Not in the way of only, I must be very clear now, not only studying the textbook. Study the textbook. I do it too. But then, as we have seen yesterday, this should only give us the tools. And when we have the tools, then the creative sense of science dawns on our thought. And then we have to sit down quietly, get all the things that disturb us out of our thought, get away from our own person, from our own body, from our own life, from our own life mission, our. Get rid of that. Because God isn't interested in it. Not a bit. principle is its own infinite mind, and principle is the only true person, and principle has only that in mind which is like principle. And then, if we start to think out that, then our thought becomes intelligently acquainted with God, with the highest endpoint. And we begin to get a wider view of what we are here for. We get a much wider view of what the world is here for. We get a much wider view of what's going on. Because then we begin to think no more in terms of this century or of our generation or of our present age, but then, as it was said in that sentence, it's in the eternal history, remains unchanged. Then we really merge into that being which is free from all this earthly life, because being is much bigger than our earth, and interesting much more than our earth, and much more than in our present state which we are in, and much more in our individual problems. Principle is its own infinite mind. It's its own infinite spirit, the eternal development of that one spirit, of the spirit of principle. It's its own infinite soul. Therefore, it's its own infinite identification of itself. What is that? We don't know. We don't know. We don't know. But it will tell us. The moment we are not putting our concept into that wonderful big picture, but put it out of it and behind us, then we open ourselves for the identification of the one principle as what principle wants to identify itself. Why it's something different? We really become not only world citizens, we become cosmic citizens, the eternal being. Why should we always be interested into what happens to us? What is the world interested in it? Are the Assyrians and the Babylonians and the Hittites and the Amorites and so on interested in what we are doing? And are we interested in what they have been doing? What that little family who had some cattle in Syria 5,000 years ago was doing? We aren't. We aren't a bit. And so is God. He is not interested in mortal mind. He is not interested in the human mind. Principle is its own infinite mind, capitalized. And that's where we have to be. That's where we belong to. That's our being. That's the only being there is. Well, then we go to the next one and come to divine science, to the level of divine science. Here, the synonymous terms that are used are life, truth, love, divine principle, love. That's how Mr. Dawley saw them and handed it down to us. And that's how we have to check it and see if he was right or not. And have to see what did he mean by it. Just because he said it, we shouldn't take it. We should think it out, reason it out, and see what it means. When we come to divine science, it has already a religious touch, because it brings in our sense of divinity. Because the infinite principle is much purer than to be interested in religion. So this is already a concession to our thought, which is necessary at the present stage, and therefore asks for the explanation of our concept of God and man. Therefore, the divinity of this infinite principle is shown here.